Version, France, June 1916.
We dig ourselves deeper into the crater. Flattened against the sides, we bend our heads under the wind produced by the shells. The most powerful winds, produced by the 150mm guns, are mingled with the whistling from the 88s. The earth flies all around us. Clods of earth fall on top of us. An acrid smell floats over the land. The rumble of departing shots reaches our ears, transmitted by the ground. There's shouting very close by. The firing becomes heavier, quicker. Our hole has half collapsed as a result of an explosion. Soil is running down the backs of our necks. Another one. Then another one. Then a flame. I close my eyes, shivering from head to foot. I turn my head. There is blood dripping down the side of the hole. A body is lying on its back, flung over the edge of an enlarged crater.
Letter found on an unknown soldier, Germany, on the 21st of March, 1916, at Hill 265.
As soon as we leapt forward, projectiles began to whistle over our heads. We were faced by terrible machine gun fire and artillery shells when we began our assault on Hill 265. We took the first trenches and cheered. Unfortunately, we also lost quite a few men then. In my squad of 19 men, only 3 survived. Anybody who escapes with just a minor wound and who because of that is evacuated towards the rear truly does have luck on his side.
Memories of an Unknown Lieutenant, France, 26th of February, 1916, on the eve of the attack on the village of Douaumont.
We were defending the village. We knew what to expect. We knew our colonel fairly well, and we knew each other well enough to know that there would never be any question of abandoning the village. What's more, our men had sworn to each other, and I had sworn to myself, that we would face up to everything, even the worst, rather than being taken prisoner.
Alexandre Renault, France, May 1916.
100 times a day you hear this nagging question, what time is it? They don't have watches, so in an effort to avoid the sentence that's annoying me so much, I hung mine onto the crossguard of a bayonet close to the candle. The avalanche of shells begins again. The candle goes out. What time is it? What time is it?
Karl Fritz, Germany, August 1916.
We spent 3 days lying in shell holes, seeing death at close quarters, waiting for it to take us at any time, without the smallest drop of water to drink, and in the dreadful stink of dead bodies. A shell covered the corpses with earth, then another dug them up again.
Isaac Henri Bismuth, France, 20th of October 1916. He was killed on the 24th of October.
I think this is the last letter I will be writing you. I'm leaving at 10 a.m. to drive up to Verdun by car, and I'll probably be joining the front line tonight. We'll be attacking in 2 or 3 days. I can assure you I'll do some good work. We're attacking to try and take Fort Douaumont. Well, we will take it and keep it, and what's more, we'll make mincemeat of the Boche. I'm enthusiastic and hopeful of victory. I have a mission to accomplish, and I will keep going to the bitter end. I have confidence in our victory, and I assure you that we'll have the upper hand. Your brother.
Heinrich, March 1916.
The heavy artillery shells are whistling overhead again. And with each hour that passes, we're happy to be still alive. Will I get out of this mess safe and sound? To be honest, I don't believe I will anymore. Still, come on. Hold your head up and keep calm. In appearance, anyway. We've just received reinforcements, and my unit has its full complement again, so we'll be able to keep going.
Robert Perrault, France, June 1916.
Morale is at the lowest I've ever seen it because of the extreme physical hardship. It's been raining nonstop, and our clothing doesn't keep it out. The cold cuts through us. We're being eaten alive by fleas. Our entire bodies are exhausted. The rain and mud cause the cadavers to decompose, producing a sickening stench. We don't eat anymore. I see 40-year-old men crying like children. Some of them just want to die.
Letter found on an unknown lieutenant, Germany, April 1916.
At the moment, I'm at the front with my company, crouched in a tiny hole in the mud that's supposed to protect me against shrapnel from the enemy shells that rain down constantly. I've already seen a lot of things, but I've never yet known a war that is so indescribably terrifying. The weather is dreadful with continuous cold and rain. I wish you could see the state I'm in. My boots, trousers, and greatcoat are sodden and covered in a 1-inch layer of mud. In the company, almost everybody is ill. Being out in the rain all day and completely soaked, sleeping in mud, being shelled night and day for 8 consecutive days and nights shatters your nerves. My feet are completely soaked and frozen, and my knees are like blocks of ice.
Maurice Ponsuet, France, July 1916.
We were only supposed to spend 4 days on the front line, but we've been here for 11 days, in the same shell hole. We may not be heroes, but we're definitely martyrs, martyrs to hunger. We had 4 days' rations with us, and since the 16th of July, we've only had enough to keep us from kicking the bucket. Here's what I got this morning for the three of us in our shell hole. 1/3 of a loaf, 6 biscuits, half a 30-gram tin of bully beef, and 1.5 quarts of wine. No water. We got some from shell holes in which 2 Boche were killed on the 12th of July. The stiffs around us have helped us a bit, and I've actually enjoyed eating rotten biscuits and KK bread. At this rate, the war could go on for 107 years.
Letter found on an unknown soldier, Germany, April 1916.
The kitchens are 2 hours away at the rear. For Easter, we had nothing to eat or drink apart from a pint of coffee. There's not a drop of water left here, but the coffee ration has increased a bit because we're losing more and more men.
Anselme Charpunel, France, April 1916.
Crest of Froide Terre Hill, 3:45. Every minute drags during the hours we wait. You don't appreciate time until you've had to count it. Stop press. I'm drinking the last of the mint alcohol in the bottle in my ammunition pouch. Each man stares at the man next to him to remind himself that he's not alone in this hell. And we're off. 100 meters to cross in the first wave of attack. It's a real race. I'm lucky. I've made it, but there are many who haven't.
Letter found on father, Germany, May 1916.
In the trench for 4 days and 4 nights. How can we stand it? We're suffering horribly from artillery fire. It's one shell after another. Day and night, not a moment's respite, always on the lookout, ready to shoot at any time. It drives you mad. Here we go again. The frogs are shelling us. Your poor father sends you his love, my darlings.
R. Cadet, France, 1916.
Close to me, a sergeant is suffering horribly. He was hit in the head and he thinks his feet are frozen. He's crying with pain. Further away, there are more tears. A German soldier is delirious. He's calling for his mother. He's shouting, shouting loud, his sobs mixing with his shouts. All he can think of is his mother. The rest of the world no longer exists for him.
Henri Tourbillet, France, 1916.
There have been heroes, like the men who volunteered for high-risk operations, patrolling between the lines or fighting hand-to-hand in the enemy trench, or the runners who carried out their mission despite shelling or attacks. Overall, though, we were resigned to our fate. We stayed where we were, however fierce the shelling. We hoped to be relieved, but we had a long time to wait.